Hello, this is Collective Noun. For a high quality program, press 1. You have pressed 2.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Welcome along to the show tonight. Look, I got great news right away, Zach, for anybody out there who might be single. Yep. My dad has given me some dating advice that I think might cure this country's single woes.
Your father, yep. Richard Fay, he's dropped on you some dating knowledge that you feel like everyone in the country who doesn't want to be single anymore, if they take this advice, they'll find their significant other.
This will help you find the one. I guarantee it.
Has it worked on you?
You know what? I've only known it for a day or two. So it's too early to say. Do you know what I mean? You got to give it check in with me next week on that front. Okay. But right now, I'm telling you, the wheels are in motion. It is exciting and it might completely revamp your love life. We'll get there shortly.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Facebook Marketplace. Price is right.
Dom, this is where you have to guess the prices of things on Facebook Marketplace, Facebook's version of Gumtree or eBay, where people sell secondhand goods.
I had a bit of a run-in with Facebook Marketplace recently. Tried to sell some concert tickets on there. They don't let you sell tickets.
Oh.
Got kicked off. Got a one-week ban.
Did you actually?
I did. So it's not gone well for me. But what's our theme tonight in Marketplace?
I have 3 items I found on Facebook Marketplace. If you can guess each of them within a dollar, Dom, I will buy every single one of them for you. Tonight's theme, the dentist. If you would like to set up your own dentist surgery, there's items on Facebook Marketplace that can help you.
Okay, well, that makes me concerned for the dental industry.
Yep.
If dentists...
You need a license to perform the surgery. I don't know if you need a license to buy the equipment.
Well, my point is, last time I went to the dentist, I didn't check their credentials.
You should.
It just looked like a good room.
That's why you look up on the wall and see what their qualifications are.
All right, what's the dental equipment?
They should own the dentist. They should put them on the roof, though, shouldn't they?
That's
so
true.
When you're in the chair, you can look up.
I see, whenever I go to see a health professional, I just make them take a quiz before I take their advice.
Yep, not a bad idea.
Basic stuff.
Our first item, Dom, this is professional dental surgical steel.
What?
Now, this is a collection of 6 items that the dentists use. You know, different hooks, scrapers, and mirrors.
Oh, this
you
is
know,
like...
all the things they put in your mouth to scrape. Poke.
Like if dentists had a tool belt, this would be what's on the tool belt.
Yeah, so it's 6 of those.
Okay, and you got the whole variety? It's like the variety pack?
It looks like everything you'd want there, yeah. I've always wanted one of those mirrors, so this is quite handy.
Yeah, those mirrors are awesome. All right, I reckon they're premium grade. I reckon
they're surgical steel.
They'd retail, I reckon, about $120 each.
Okay.
I reckon as a discount, you might get the full pack for $500.
They are just pieces of metal.
Yeah, but premium pieces of metal.
$25.
Zach, I'm leaving the radio show. I'm going to start a dental surgery.
That's not the only item you need.
I can make a start with that.
Okay.
I just need that in a recliner.
Oh, well, funny you say that. Our next item, a dental chair.
Okay, great.
Now, this looks like a slightly older dental chair. Mm. I'm guessing, not by what it says.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing maybe 20 years old. It is electric, though.
I've often wondered with dental chairs why, like a Harvey Norman or something, haven't incorporated that design into their furniture.
Because it's not very comfortable to watch TV with.
I find them pretty comfortable. I find them okay. But also, the way they, like, move back and forth, it's
a bit of
fun.
Yeah, there's recliners.
Yeah, but no, not electric ones, though.
Okay, yeah.
I think the dental chairs, honestly, if I could have one of them in my lounge room, maybe I can if this is affordable.
You can. How much do you reckon
it is?
That'd
be great. Well, okay, a general recliner. Yep. Second hand, I reckon $120.
Yeah.
I reckon for add the dental expenses on, $200.
Oh, when you said $120, I thought you were going to get close. $150. Incorrect.
Oh, damn it. Okay.
So at the moment, pretty good though. You're looking at about $175 for the dental chair and the little pokers.
And I reckon, how much do you reckon a dentist consultation is? About $200? Well, I'm going to say
it depends what they do.
My point is, I've made $25 if I charge $200.
Yeah, just set
one
up in
session.
The street.
One session.
You should set up on the train. That's a good idea.
That's not bad.
Well, if you that's actually close to our next item.
We should add, if you see anybody on the train promising they're a dentist, don't pay for that service.
Our last item.
Yep.
Mobile dental van.
Oh, great.
Remember these vans that used to come to your school and stuff?
The dentist van comes to school.
There's one for sale on Facebook Marketplace. How much do you think it costs?
The whole van. Okay, I'm trying to think of car prices, right?
Yeah.
And generally a van...
It doesn't have a car attached, so you tow it behind. Yeah, it's a trailer.
Right, okay. And that's great, because you can just chuck it on the car and head wherever you want to do some dentistry work. I reckon for the trailer. You know what? Going out on a limb, I'm going to say 11,000.
No, way off. $55,500.
Wow. 55 grand.
Do you reckon? You know when people get to a certain age and they retire and they get a caravan and go around the country? Do you think when a dentist gets to a certain age, they put away their bricks and mortar surgery and they get themselves one of these caravan dental vans?
Look, it's a pretty good idea. And all I'm going to say is it's so hard to get in on the housing market these days for young people. Forget trying to buy your own home.
Yep.
Save up 55 grand. Live in a dental van.
Well, if you were doing that, why wouldn't you buy a caravan?
They don't have the dentist chair. Okay. They're missing out.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Dom, we were talking in the song then. You brought up an interesting question. Yeah. I don't know how long you've been thinking about this.
Yeah.
But you asked, how much money would it cost to get an Uber ride all the way around Australia?
Well, because the thought in my head, you know, if you were to book an Uber, because normally when you book an Uber, you have to give, you know, what your pickup is and your destination. If you just happen to type in the other side of the country, how much would that cost? Like, what would the estimate be?
Producer Michael tried to put in a trip that went from Brisbane to Perth just to get a bit of a gauge.
Right, what did we get? Did we get a result?
But it wouldn't produce an estimation.
Well, I suppose, look, this is what I always think with when you hear stories of taxis or Ubers who do this, like, you know, someone books it to another city or something. There's the real inconvenience of having to get back.
I remember hearing a story about someone getting a taxi from Brisbane to Melbourne, I think. But it's kind of folklore. I never really knew whether it was true or not. Because when you really think about it, I'm like, but what... If someone got in a taxi and said, you know, take me to Sydney or to Melbourne or whatever, does the taxi driver then just have to call their family and say, I won't be back for a few days? Like, how would that work?
It sounds a lot like the plot to, like, an American studio comedy. Do you know what I mean? Like, that would be kind of what would happen in
like
that.
Like a road trip movie.
Yeah, some sort of road trip movie. And then suddenly they end up staying in a motel together, the taxi driver and the passenger.
We thought we could do a little bit of a survey of the country's Uber and taxi drivers. On 13 10 60. What's the longest fare you've ever taken?
Well, look, I wonder if you were to do the all around Australia thing, would you do it with the one driver continuously, or would you kind of hitchhike your way through Uber drivers? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
Maybe 100K at a time.
Yeah.
And that way you can get the fresh Uber driver each time.
Because the issue for the driver is once they get to the destination and drop the person off, they have to drive back.
That's it. That's the whole point, right?
And you're not getting paid for that return trip.
No.
Unless you find someone in that other city that wants to go back. And then you're doubling your money.
But the odds are pretty long. I mean, I think it would be rare that someone wants a car to take them across the country. It's even rarer that someone would want it the other way back as well. So 13 10 60, if we can get some concrete data on this.
Yeah.
It would satisfy my curiosity. Oh, we have Rhiannon in Melbourne. Your grandmother took a very long taxi ride. Is that right?
Yeah.
So what was the distance?
So all the way from Melbourne to New South Wales.
Okay.
Well, how long's that, Rhiannon? A couple of hours?
Was this like the border? Just about to the border, you're saying?
Yeah.
Let me just put that in Google.
Do you know anything about the cost, how much it cost?
I think I remember hearing my dad say it was between like $700 and $800 or something. Jeez. Like, it was a lot for her. And this was a few years ago.
Right. I'm getting 3.5, 4-ish hours on Google Maps there, Zach.
Yep.
That's also commitment to small talk.
This is what I was just thinking. Because that's like, you can't do the weather for 4 hours.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Would you play road trip games with the random driver that you got?
That's a great idea.
You'd be pretty good friends by the end of it.
You'd think so. And maybe if you're in an Uber, would they let you control the music the whole way? That's a hell of a... You go through your whole catalogue by that
stage. We have Matt in Queens... Oh, no, sorry. Denny in Newcastle.
Danny, what's the distance of your longest trip?
So the longest I was a passenger in was from Newcastle to Sydney. I was with a couple of friends. We'd had some drinks and we really wanted to gamble.
Okay, right.
So we straight from Newcastle, straight to the Star.
Yep.
Got the guy to wait outside for about 5 or 6 hours while we were playing blackjack.
Wow.
And what was this... Yeah, sorry, go on, Danny.
Yep. And then straight back home. I think we got home about 8:30 in the morning.
Jeez.
What was that costing you?
Solid grand.
Solid grand, okay.
Well, that's not that bad.
It's surprisingly...
I thought it would be higher than that.
I think it's about 2 hours Sydney to Newcastle. Yeah. Add in the 5 hours of waiting out the front, yeah, which I imagine obviously would,
well,
be all metered.
Would the taxi driver, Danny, do you know if they waited out the front or they just shot around town?
He's a mate of mine. I'm a taxi driver as well.
Right.
I rang up my buddies and got him to...
Because I was thinking you might just, you know, go get a few fares around town for 5 hours, then come back.
Well, Danny, did you make up more than the 1,000, you know, at the casino that night?
Yeah. Okay. You don't do that to play for soft money.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Danny knew what he was doing.
Danny sounds like a man who knows what he's talking about. Matt is on 13:1060. Matt, you know the longest Australian fare of all time. Is that right?
Yes, I believe it was a guy by the name of Charlie Hudson from Geelong in Victoria to Darwin in about 1930. I think you would find it on 13cab's website. Certainly a Google search would find it pretty quickly, but it was Darwin and return in 1930. So that would have been a pretty fair effort.
Yeah.
In answer to your question about costing, I mean, I can't off the top of my head cost around Australia, but let's just take Brisbane to Perth as an example.
Yep.
At current taxi rates, that would work out about 13,000.
13,000.
At current rates, because your kilometre rate's about $2.20 one way, and then there's about $1 a K return rate. So if you work all that out, it'd come up at about 13,000. That's my quick thumb calculation for you.
I love it, Matt. I love it.
Can I just say, if I'm ever on a trivia team doing a trivia night, I'm calling Matt up because Matt's the expert. 13,000 to get Brisbane to Perth.
I mean, an air flare is what? Maybe 1,000?
Maybe 1,000. But 13K, I mean...
Are you tempted here?
I'm just having to think about it, Zach. 13, if you crowdfunded it, I mean, you would need to stop off somewhere along the way, you'd think.
Matt, I'm assuming that you are a cab driver. That's how you know all this information.
I'm an occasional cab driver. Yes. Yeah, I'm in one right now. Guys, I've got to go. I've got a job to go to. But
all right, no problems, Matt. Sorry for interrupting. You got work to do. That's all good.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Dom, I think I may have done the oldest thing I've ever done.
Okay, well, you've spoken on the show before about your love of gardening.
Yeah.
And I've called you a pensioner for that in the past. Are we in the same sphere here?
Yeah, it's gardening related.
Great.
But gardening's fine. That's not an old person thing to do.
Okay.
What I've done on top of that might be considered an old person thing to do.
Okay, what are you doing?
I have entered a competition I found in the back of a gardening magazine.
Okay. Look, we need to clarify. If you haven't heard the show before, how old are you, Zach?
28.
28. Too young to be entering competitions from gardening magazines.
It's my dream to become the farmer emoji.
Yeah, you mentioned that before.
So I am striving to grow some carrots. We're still a few weeks away from that.
You need to have, what is it, 3 carrots, a farming hat and overalls.
Yep.
And you're the emoji.
I'm about halfway there. Shot the hat.
Yeah.
The carrots are on its way.
Right.
So I was reading Organic Gardener, which is a magazine I bought.
This is, can I just say, a year ago you hadn't gardened before. You have spiraled
so quickly.
Yeah, well,
I lived in an apartment.
I'm just saying.
I moved from an apartment to a house. I had a yard.
Yeah.
And I got interested in growing my own vegetables.
It's just such
That's not an old thing to do.
No, it's just such a quick spiral to now be reading this magazine a year on.
Well, I was flicking through the pages.
Sure.
Quite interesting. Yep. Enjoyed it.
How much did it cost?
About $10, I think.
Right.
I don't know. What do magazines usually cost?
I don't know. I haven't bought one in a long time.
And then they had a competition to win a composting system. And this caught my fancy because I'm really into composting. No, composting's really cool.
Well, okay, composting's really cool is not a sentence you should be saying.
It does sound a little bit like what they say at the end of Captain Planet when they do the lesson for the day.
What do you mean composting's cool? Why is composting cool? Tell me why composting's
firstly,
cool.
Firstly, it's reducing landfill.
Yeah, okay, it's good for the environment. I still wouldn't call it cool.
Secondly, compost is great for your garden.
Yep.
Thirdly, it's fun to watch the worms squirm around inside of it.
When I was back in high school, and I think about the cool group, I don't think they were ever composting at lunchtime behind the shed.
Are you guys composting back there? I can smell it. So anyway, this system, though, it was like $300. It's pretty good.
Sure. Okay.
And I didn't want to pay $300 for a composting system, so I'm like, I'm going to enter this competition. But you had to say what you're going to do with the compost.
Oh,
it was like
gosh.
In 40 words or less, what you're going to do with the compost.
See, my hope was, Zach, that maybe it was a really low bar for entry, right? Like maybe you just had to mail something off that was already paid for. I didn't realize you had to be creative.
You have to do a creative piece.
Right.
And I'm putting my mind in their mind, thinking about the judges.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think a lot of these entrants are going to be older people.
Sure.
And I thought, what do old people enjoy?
Yeah.
Poems. So I'm going to write a poem about what I'm going to do with the compost, because I'm trying to get in their mind, Dom. When you enter competitions, you have to think about your audience.
Sure.
I'm thinking about who the judges are. I'm not a poet.
No.
I don't particularly like poetry.
No, you don't.
But I'm doing it for the composter.
You really compromised all of your personal values to win this $300 composting.
Do you want to know my poem?
You've got the poem there for you?
Yeah.
Are we going to get a reading?
This is my entry to Organic Gardener's composting competition about what I'm going to do with the compost if I win.
And you want some classical music to assist this reading?
Yeah, hit us up.
All right, here we go.
The following is my poem. My roses aren't red. My violets aren't blue. But this could change with some compost dug through. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
That's
I believe I'm going to be the proud new owner of a $300 composting system.
Do you know when the winners are announced?
August. I looked up the date. I'm keen. I really want this system.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Good news for anybody single out there or in a relationship that they're not quite sure about. My dad has given me a piece of advice, Zach, that he is adamant will help you figure out who the one is in your life.
My question is, Dom, you've been single for a couple of years.
I have.
Isn't it a bit cruel that your dad hasn't given you this advice sooner? Yeah.
Why has he been holding out? Well, look, he's in a 34-year marriage.
Yep.
Him and Mum are, you know, going strong together, as they say. So clearly it's worked for him, this advice.
So you're going to try it out.
Yeah, well, what he told me. Now, I'd not heard this before. He said it's a bit of a common thing from his generation.
Yeah.
Is that if you ask somebody what their favorite animal is,
yeah,
and then the two adjectives that come to mind to describe that animal, that the two adjectives that describe that animal are the sort of adjectives you'd want in a perfect partner. Right? So for example,
I've never okay.
So if you said if you said your favorite animal was wombat and the two adjectives were, I don't know, warm and kind or warm and gentle, right? That clearly the two ideal characteristics of your perfect partner, warm and gentle.
Well, I'm married, Dom, and the things I like about my wife, she's smart, yep, funny, and beautiful. I haven't ever described an animal as smart, funny, or beautiful.
Look,
I think if I was describing an animal as beautiful, that would be a bit weird, wouldn't it?
It is. Look, it is certainly, it's not foolproof, I don't think necessarily, as I discovered.
Yeah, why?
Because Dad didn't explain the full process to me, right?
Yeah.
He didn't say, here's the theory, now let's try it out. Instead, he just said, what's your favorite animal? Yeah. And I said, dolphin. Because who doesn't love a dolphin?
Is a dolphin your favorite animal?
Name me an animal better than a dolphin.
That's fine.
No, give me an animal better than a dolphin.
Dolphins are great animals. Mm. It's just that would be, you know, something that someone might say in primary school. That's like my first favorite animal.
Okay, what, you're saying I should have graduated past dolphin? To what?
Any other animal.
No, dolphins are great. And I'm not having
something that people don't get tattooed on their back.
I'm not hearing things against dolphins. But then Dad said, before he's explained the theory to me, What are the two adjectives that you first think of when you think of dolphin?
Yeah.
And I said, sea dwelling and blue.
You're looking for a mermaid. Is Ariel out there?
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
This is Collective Noun's Out of Context News.
Making Out of Context News tonight, Donald Trump told people that he thinks the Earth might be flat.
So when I said that, all of a sudden it's like, whoa, let's stop talking with this guy, you know?
Also, Pink had a rap battle with the Queen.
It was rough. She's smart and mean.
And Pauline Hanson had hundreds of attempts at the Ninja Warrior course.
My God, how dare this person keep having another go, another go, another go. You know what that's called? Persistence. Because I believe in what I'm doing.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
If you've listened to the show before, you know that each week we ask, beg, nay, plead for 5-star reviews on the iTunes podcast store, aka the Collective Noun forum, aka the happiest place on the internet.
And good news, it is so affordable to get into the Collective Noun forum. Leave your wallet in your pocket. All it's going to cost is a 5-star rating. Search for Collective Noun on iTunes. Leave that 5-star rating as your admission price into the forum. And then in the review, you can write whatever you want. And you're in, Zach, and you can enjoy the happiest place on the internet.
Who do we have frolicking today?
Firstly, we are honoured to welcome back Sir Shaker Fries IV from America. First visit to the Collective Noun forum in a while. And we understand.
Time gets away.
Well, it's hard to fly from America. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit of a distance.
People are busy.
Yeah.
life goes by, but this is my message. Mm. Don't let life go by without doing what you love. Yeah. And that's going to the Collective Noun Forum and leaving a 5-star review.
Yeah, and you know what? I know there'd be people listening to this who'd think, well, I hear them do this bit every week on the show, the forum stuff. But I don't think it would actually be as happy as they make it out to be. Oh. I reckon it would just be like, look, going on my phone, writing a message, and then they might banter a bit about it. But you'd be so wrong.
You'd be wrong. There's so much more than that.
There's a magic involved.
There's worlds inside worlds.
There's worlds beyond worlds beyond worlds.
We are the babushka dolls of theme parks.
Well, that, okay, get rid of the old, what was the slogan we came up with the other day? Something about carbohydrates. Nothing but carbohydrates.
Nothing but carbs.
That was in the buffet. Well, get rid of that. And we're now the
carbohydrate buffet. That's such a good idea.
That's pretty good, actually.
Just your pastas, your chips.
Yeah.
Your breads.
Bad. Yeah. Well, my point is, I think we've got a new slogan now, though. I think our slogan is the babushka doll of theme parks. So we can put that up on the sign. Well, look, Sir Shakerverse the Fourth just wants to say, assuming that Dom hasn't heard yet, I thought I'd stop by to tell him the good news that America, and I did not know this, currently has a cheese surplus.
Uh-oh.
Apparently, the Department of Agriculture is reporting a 1.39 billion pound surplus. What's 1.39 billion pounds in kilograms? What's
a lot? I'm surprised you finished that sentence. I thought after cheese surplus, we'd just hear
just the chair would be spinning, or something.
And it would just you hear a plane fly over as Dom's booked his trip to America.
I think we're looking at something like that's around 6 billion kilograms. Is that correct? Yeah, around
it's a lot of cheese.
6
Do
billion
we know
kilograms
what
of cheese.
The surplus is? Well, so did they think you were coming and then you cancelled your flight?
Well, it is the largest amount they've had in storage for at least a century. Apparently, prices on all dairy products, but especially cheese, are at record lows, never before seen lows.
Oversupply.
And so Shaker Fresh says, Dom, we need your help. I believe that you can single-handedly turn this from a surplus into a shortage, and the nation would thank you.
Yeah, now, well, that's his call to action.
This does sound a lot like in a superhero movie. Hmm. You know what I mean? There's only one person who can help us now.
Yeah.
And then someone shines like a wheel of brie up into the sky, like the bat signal.
So if you're on the plane going over there making small talk with the person next to you, you say, what are you going over for? Yeah. And they're saying, oh, my family lives over there. I'm just going to see some of my relatives. What are you going for, Dom? I've been called.
Well, I would be thinking that for a mission like this, they might send me an Air Force One.
Yeah,
okay. Do you know what I mean? I reckon that might be fair enough. Either that or when I get to customs and they say business or leisure, I'll just say national service. Cheese eating.
You describe your cheese eating as leisure, though, don't you?
It's a bit of both.
Yeah.
Because I'm very professional about it, too. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, mess around.
No, you wear a suit.
Yeah. I take it very seriously. So
you
it's business
have been,
and leisure.
You have been not eating meat this week, and you told me that your cheese intake has increased.
It has, to fill the void of the vegetarian lifestyle.
So what have you had this afternoon?
Had half a block of Colby this afternoon, had halloumi in my dinner, had halloumi as a side yesterday, so... just
a side?
Yeah.
A side on what?
Well, it doesn't matter what it was a side on, that's not important.
Yes, it is.
Okay, it was a side to an acai bowl. It was like on
so you got an acai bowl, like a fruit...
Yeah,
with a side of halloumi.
It was just on a napkin on the side.
Was that from your usual place?
No, this is from a cafe.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm having a lot of cheese, right? And it's good training.
How do you eat that? Do you just eat it with your hands?
Yeah,
pick it up?
Of course you do. Because what a stupid question.
Yeah, sorry. My mistake. Do you eat it before or after the acai bowl?
I had it beforehand.
So you start with the halloumi.
Yeah, it's
then
an
you
entree.
Have the sweet cheese afterwards.
Yeah, there's a sweet bowl afterwards.
Yeah, so that's like the dessert.
Yeah.
So the halloumi is the main meal.
Yep.
And then the smoothie bowl is the dessert.
You know, just on this cheese shortage, you know how in like Rocky movies and whatever, they'll have the montage of the person training. Hmm. Could we just get a montage of me eating different sorts of cheese?
Yeah, well, we'll just set up a camera. Any afternoon you pick, we'll leave it there and you just go about your normal afternoon.
Great.
And we'll cut together Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. It'll be more than enough. We could do a full feature.
Well, thank you, Sir Shaker Fries. Notice to American immigration, I'm on my way.
Yep.
The tickets are booked. I'll be there shortly. And I'm telling you, I'll deal with this matter in 2 or 3 days. That won't be a problem.
Just lock him in the silo.
That's it. I don't like that sometimes when we talk about my food consumption, you use terminology and language that is also used often for farmyard animals.
You don't want to be measuring your food intake by silos.
No. Well, I mean,
there's small, medium, large. No thanks. I'll take the silo.
I mean, earlier today we were filming something out near some like farmlandish area, and you asked me how much money it would take to drink from the horse trough.
Well, that's just a bit of good fun.
I did not drink from the horse trough.
That wasn't necessarily to you. That could have been to producer Michael as well.
It was.
What was the cost of drinking? It was a Who Dares Wins situation.
Oh, it wasn't.
Would the $50 that they offered on Who Dares Wins get you there?
In hindsight, that show, obviously great show, Mike Whitney, Tanya Zaeta, and I don't know how it hasn't been rebooted yet. $50 was not enough.
The $50 ones were really fun.
They are somewhat fun. But even the great ones, like the scary ones, like jumping off a building or having like a lion jump over you. I think the big price was $1,000.
No, they went on a holiday.
Did they?
Yeah, don't you win a holiday? That's usually what you want on
those
shows.
My cousin was once got the final challenge. He did have lions jump over him. So Mike Whitney came to his workplace and like surprised him and everything. And then
lions jumping over you, that's an easy one because all you have to do is lay there.
Yeah. That's true. It's certainly my choice of dare. Just, I'll have a nap. Just give me the cheese beforehand. Let me lay down for a post-cheese nap.
Cheese coma.
That'll be fine. I can totally handle that. Next up in the forum today, Zach, we do have Natty K01 entering. And amazingly, this is also related to cheese in the description. They've just said, look, the description just says... And I like that sometimes it's short and sharp in the forum. Obviously, we love messages of all length, but they've just said, halloumi at Nando's, exclamation mark.
See, they couldn't finish the message. That's obviously someone who went to write a message on their phone. An ad popped up for Nando's new halloumi range, and they were gone.
They were
Have you had Nando's halloumi?
I didn't know Nando's did halloumi. Did you know that?
Yeah, I saw it maybe in the last couple of weeks.
It's very handy information because where I do go for my daily acai bowl, Cocoa Bliss, there's a Nando's down in the same junction.
Well, that's why I asked if it was your usual place, because I was surprised to hear that Cocoa Bliss did sides of halloumi, food store.
They do not. I do. Look, Vera and her family who run that Cocoa Bliss, and I do love them. I'm there every day. I could ask them. I reckon they do halloumi for me, but I don't think it's in their general repertoire.
So what would you do with the Nando's down the road? Would you just swing by side of halloumi?
Generally, where I park my car, I walk up to the Cocoa Bliss and I walk past Nando's on the way back to the car every day. So generally what I'm seeing here, if I can order halloumi online when I'm near the end of my bowl, put in an order, swing by, pick it up, beautiful.
I'm not sure if you can get it on the side or if it's just on burgers.
Oh, I reckon they'll do it for me.
Yep. Okay. Sorry. My mistake.
What I'll do is I'll set up like a tab, like you're at a bar or something, right? And I'll just fix it up every year.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'll just go back and say, what's the damage?
That's a lot of money each year if you're paying yearly.
You kind of wouldn't want that, actually, because it would be in the hundreds.
Oh, and easy.
When you're confronted by spending that much money on halloumi, you probably have a moment. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It would be a bit confronting. What do you reckon? If you tallied up all the food that you buy, what do you reckon you'd spend the most money on?
Me?
Yeah, like what particular food item do you think you spend
from
the most money on?
From the grocery store or just generally?
Just generally. Like, would it be coffees? Would it be chips? What would it be for you?
Coffee.
Coffee?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's not as fun as halloumi, I'm going to be honest.
What is yours, halloumi?
Actually, my mum would be acai bowls.
Yeah, that's true. You have an acai bowl every day. They're every like 15 bucks.
Yeah, no, I went to see someone who's like a financial planner like a year ago, and I told him about that, and he did some maths. He's like, are you sure you want to keep doing this?
And you said, don't show me the number. I don't want to know. It's like when you do your tax at the end of the year and you figure out how much you're paying in rent and stuff. And you're like, ugh.
Oh, hang on. Sorry, I take it back. It's not acai bowls. Obviously, I spend most of my money on LA Ice Cola.
Of course. That's hard to do because it's so reasonably priced. So you're buying a lot.
You have to buy a hell of a lot. I mean, you don't really get any free time to do anything but drink LA Ice Cola.
America has the oversupply of cheese. Dom's house has an oversupply of LA ice.
Actually, Natty K01 has gone on to say after the halloumi at Nando's ad, which we can put up on the forum billboard, that they love frolicking in the forum and they're heading straight to the LA ice stand. See ya. So they're off to the LA ice cola stand.
And we might put a halloumi stand next to it.
It's a great idea. That is what we've got time for in the Collective Noun forum tonight. If you do want to be a part of it, we would love to have you on board with any questions you have to ask, any news you want to share, or any suggestions for what you'd like us to construct in this Collective Noun forum. We are always taking applications. All you have to do is search for Collective Noun on iTunes, leave a 5-star rating as your admission price into the forum. Write whatever you want in the review, and we'll read it out next time on the show.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
A few of my friends, Zach, are currently staying in an Airbnb. They've gone away for a bit of a country retreat. And my friend Rachel sent me a photo today from the bathroom of the place they're staying.
Yeah.
Which I personally, I think this would make me check out of the place within minutes. Uh-huh. I would pack up the suitcase, I get straight out. It is a picture, and I've shown it to you. It is a picture of a doll witch, probably maybe 30 centimetres high by the look of it. And it is one of the scariest witches, one of the scariest looking dolls I've seen in my life.
Now, this isn't in like a toy cupboard, is it?
No.
It's just hidden behind a closed cabinet, is that right?
That's what it looks like from the picture, yeah. Now, if you go to the Collective Nan's Instagram stories right now, you can see we put a picture of it up there. For those who can't see it, we have an audio recreation of what we think this would sound like. Got this.
Yeah, if the doll could talk, that's the sound it would make.
And I'll be honest, if I was staying at the Airbnb and I heard that in the middle of the night, I wouldn't be surprised.
Can you imagine getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, stumbling around, and you accidentally bump into that?
Well, this is what I'm like. Why would the person who runs the Airbnb put that there? Is it purely to scare people?
Some people are into toys like that.
Oh, I can't understand. Like this one, I understand some people are into some sort of like toys like that, but this one is particularly terrifying. There's no reason you'd buy this except to scare people. It's got to be.
Find weird stuff in Airbnb sometimes. I was in one that had nail clippings on the carpet.
Was that a feature?
that wasn't listed. That wasn't one of the, you know, it's like, it's so nice being a local. You're going to feel so at home in our apartment that we're going to leave nail clippings for you. No, it was like, obviously, I don't know if they cleaned it themselves or they got someone to clean it. They missed someone who had kindly cut their nails on the carpet.
Did you leave a bad review or were you kind?
I don't. No.
You're pretty known for your savage bad reviews online.
Am I?
Zed Mander, look for that for various reviews. Just one stars all over the place.
No, I don't usually leave reviews on that. My wife must do it then.
Right.
Because I've never left one.
Look, 131060, what did you find in the Airbnb? Perhaps it can be a warning for other people. Maybe it can be just an advertisement. Maybe it was a good feature. I don't know. But all I'm saying is if I went into an Airbnb and saw anything even in the ballpark of as scary as this witch is... Look, it's at least two stars.
Wait, hang on. So you said it could be a good thing.
Yeah.
If someone calls up and says they had a really good view, no. I don't think we want stuff like that.
Well, what if like, I don't know, like a celebrity happened to be living in the annex?
Right. Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Obviously, it's got to be unusual.
So you got an Airbnb.
Yeah.
And Chris Martin.
There we go, from Coldplay.
Was living in the loft. Do you think that could happen?
Are you telling me we wouldn't take that phone call?
Yeah, we'd put that to it.
We'd put that phone call to it. Okay. 131060, what did you find in your accommodation, in your Airbnb? Something scary, something a bit odd? I have just got an update from my friends. Apparently, they've hid it behind the bin so it faces the wall. Okay. That's what they've done with
the witch doll. It's in the naughty corner.
It's in the naughty corner. Now, I honestly wouldn't let that witch out of my sight if it was me. There's no way I'd be staying anywhere and let the doll out of my sight.
We have Nathaniel in Brisbane. What did you find in your Airbnb, Nathaniel?
Me and my friend, we found half-drunk bottles of milk in the fridge.
Okay. How many?
Three.
Three half-drunk bottles. So this is when you check in. So someone's meant to go in and clean the place.
Yeah, well, I guess they think they're just being very homely.
Well, I guess so. Was it in date, the milk, Nathaniel?
No.
Okay. Right.
So, yeah, we walked in, we decided to check out the place as you do, and we were like, oh, we'll see what's in the fridge, and there was just expired half-drunk bottles of milk.
Okay.
That would never happen where Dom stays because milk never expires. It gets nowhere near that date.
Generally, milk is drunk within a day or two of entering the household. Although sometimes if you find half-drunk bottles of milk, it's a sign I was somewhere in a rush.
If you go in Dom's house and there's expired milk, call the police. Dom's missing.
Oh, we have John in Melbourne on 131060. What did you find in the accommodation, John?
I was just over in Vegas a couple of months ago, and my missus leant over to plug her phone charger into the wall behind the bedside table. And as she leant down to plug it in, she found a pile of used condoms and tissues.
Okay. That's pretty high on the list of the things you definitely don't want in your hotel room.
My gut feel would be, if you, and look, I have never been involved in the cleaning industry.
Yeah.
But if you're a hotel cleaner, yes, that would be probably
the
number one thing.
That's the first scan. Go around and look for used condoms. Then proceed from there.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Dom, I came across a story today of a Mario Party gone wrong.
Mario Party.
Yes, that you have to hear about. Okay. Have you ever seen in Japan, this has been going viral over the last couple of years,
sure,
that you can sign up to this thing, it's like real life Mario Kart, and you dress up as a Mario character, and you can drive go-karts around the city?
I've not seen that.
You haven't seen that?
Do they include like all the various, like banana peels?
No,
and
you're not throwing shells at each other.
Right, okay.
You're just driving around in a tour. It's kind of like a tour of the city, but you're dressed up as a Mario character and you're in a go-kart.
I was thinking the thunder, the action where you strike thunder on everyone, or lightning, sorry, on everyone.
You are unlucky enough to do your tour on a rainy day,
that's true.
That might happen, but that's not advertised.
Right, okay, so that's taken off overseas, and it's come to Australia.
Well, people thought it was coming to Australia, and people got very excited, thinking that that same experience was coming down under. And so people signed up for what they thought was the same thing, and they've been a little disappointed.
I mean, it does sound like a lot of fun.
Yes.
Certainly. Now, I wish I'd heard about it, but what do you mean they're disappointed?
Well, people signed up for what they thought was going to be the same thing, and they paid their money to get costume hire, go-karting, and the games, rooms, and activities. This is what was advertised to them. Yeah. This is what one reviewer said of the experience. I think this was in Melbourne recently.
Yeah.
They said it was overpriced. They said the costumes were dirty and cheap, the type you get from $2 shops, and not washed at all. I mean, the cheap, I think, is okay, but not washed at all. You want to avoid that.
Yep, I agree.
At least 95% of the costumes were Mario and Luigi. Which doesn't happen in the game.
No. Clearly, Mario and Luigi were the ones I had most stock of.
With only a few scattered princess dresses. Not Princess Peach, just Princess.
That's my favourite character when I play. The vague princess.
And some
the
random
nondescript princess.
And some random Batman and Superman outfits thrown in. Another person said, my friend's Superman costume had a stain that looked like someone had wet themselves in. Which I can understand if you've ever played Mario Kart. When that blue shell's coming at you,
that's it.
You do wet your pants.
That's it. But that's why when I play Mario Kart, Zach, I always pick Superman.
Yes.
Because Superman could get past the blue shell quicker than
it anybody. It reminds me when you ask for a name brand thing when you're a kid and your parents thought you were getting it. I asked for a Game Boy and they got me like a Game Kid or something like that. And they're like, oh, it's the same thing. The person went on to say the games, room, and activities that they had, the arcade games promised were just too weak and soft.
Oh, no.
And everything else you had to pay for. It turns out it wasn't exactly what they were expecting, Dom. So a bit disappointing for them.
So that would have been, what, a few $100s, I'm guessing.
$100.
$100. You pay $100, you see something online, and you rock up, and basically you've got dirty costumes that don't exactly fit. And if you get bored with that, you can have a go on a gaming console
from
15
years ago.
Well,
the people who organised it said, hey, it's got nothing to do with the Nintendo, nothing to do with Mario Kart. Right. I don't know how you got that idea. But the name was Mushroom Racing.
Okay.
And they were giving out Mario costumes. So I'm like, I think you can see how they got the idea.
I reckon that stands up in court, though. I reckon they've probably been generic enough to get through that. That is all we've got time for on the show tonight. If you want to hear the full thing back, search for Collective Noun on iTunes. You can hear the podcast there. See you tomorrow at 10.
Bye.
That's all from Collective Noun. Grab podcasts and videos online on Facebook at Collective Noun Comedy.